You're tuned into the Portkey Cast, a weekly Harry Potter podcast where we follow the books chapter by chapter. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Portkey Cast. We are reading from book 1. We are on chapter 2, and it is called The Vanishing Glass. We will get into why it's called that and much later in the episode. I actually didn't realize it was why it was called that. After all these years, I mean, I guess, like we said in the last episode, I've read Harry Potter through at least 6 or 7 times. I've listened to it through at least 3 or 4 times. And I've seen the movies, I can't even tell you how many times. And legitimately, I didn't realize I was called that until today when I was actually really paying attention to things, which I think is what's great about this podcast. It's really forcing me to pay more attention to what's happening within the story. So it starts off 10 years later. They're very adamant to say that nothing has changed in the house except the pictures of Dudley, which is the Dursley's son. My favorite thing is they describe Dudley as a beach ball wearing different bonnets. So he's a fat little baby wearing different hats. And if you're American, bonnet is hat. And Harry has no pictures of himself in the house. You would never know that there's another boy that lives there.
Not surprising. They did a very good job making him feel outcasted.
Yes. He lives in a cupboard under the stairs. It must be pretty big, though. I mean, in the movie, it looks pretty big. I mean, it's not ideal. I'm 6'2", well, so it's not ideal for someone like me, but
I think they talk about later in the books how he, like, goes back in the cupboard, or he opens the little kid and he realizes how small it was, but he was 11 at the time, so
that's much later in the series when it's right before he
yeah, so they talk about how small it is in relation to, like, adult size, though.
Yeah.
When you're 11.
That's true. I mean, he's 5'4".
When I was 11, I'm still very short, so I'm just hitting 5'1", so I imagine 11, that a cupboard would have been fine for me, I guess.
So we're 10 years after the first chapter, and, you know, they really try to paint the picture that this is a very loving home to Dudley, their son. And he gets everything he wants. If not, he pulls a little hissy fit, like a little bitch. And Harry gets nothing. Harry is basically their house elf in their own, without them even knowing what that is. That comes into play in the next book. He is basically a house elf because he's awakened by his aunt telling him to
make bacon.
Which
I always thought it was weird because they don't trust him to do anything, but they want him to make them breakfast.
Well, I mean, bacon is really easy to mess up, but at the same time, there's not much that's going to happen. He might get burned. He might get oil.
Yeah, but they're like worried that he's going to blow up the house, but they're not worried that he's going to like catch something on fire or that he's going
to. Well, I know I wouldn't trust an 11-year-old to make my bacon because I like my bacon a little limp. You know,
me too. I don't like it crispy.
A little crisp, a little bite. But when I pick it up, I want it to flop over. I want my bacon to be flaccid. And I do not like, there are people who like burnt bacon. I just look at them. I'm like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with your life? What happened to you?
So no 11-year-olds making bacon because they would definitely burn it.
They would definitely mess up my bacon. If you are an Office fan, I do make my bacon on a George Foreman grill. So I sit in bed with a plate of grilled bacon. I don't know how many of you all understand that reference. I know Alicia doesn't. She is not a fan of The Office. And if you would like me to have an Office podcast, please let me know. I'll be more than happy to talk about The Office as well. So, yes, that's a very funny episode.
I will not be here with you for that one.
So, yeah, so Petunia, Aunt Petunia makes sure to. Do you say aunt or aunt?
Aunt.
Well, that's a very American way to say it, but there's a U there. Aunt is spelled A-N-T.
Yeah, but I think that was a dialect of what part of the country you live in as well. Because, like, in New Jersey, everyone says aunt.
Well, every person I've asked, even here in Indiana, they make fun of me for saying
aunt.
Aunt, yeah. I'll say, well, my aunt this, and they're like, aunt? Oh, aren't you fancy? I just have an aunt. So, I don't know. I always said aunt.
No, my niece and my nephew call me aunt, and I don't get an actual second name. I just am aunt, A-N-T.
Are you auntie?
No, just aunt.
Oh, well.
And no, Aunt Alicia, just aunt.
Well, Oh, we didn't even introduce ourselves. I'm sorry. I am Jonathan.
I'm Alicia.
And we are already diving into this.
Apparently, and.
We will try to be better about making sure we introduce ourselves from this point on. But, you know, like I said, we are just going with it. We are learning our pacing and everything like that. This is our first podcast, and we're just excited to be here. So, he has an aunt, according to Daly. Is that his last name? The narrator. We are listening to the podcast, or we are listening to the
Jim
books
Dale.
As opposed to Jim Dale. We are listening to the books as opposed to reading them because we are adults and we have a life and we have jobs, and it's hard to find time to read. But it's very easy to listen. And he says aunt. So we, from this point on, I'll make sure to say aunt. Alicia will probably say aunt, and that's okay. Do not murder her because of it. So Aunt Petunia, for Alicia, Aunt Petunia wakes up Harry and tells him to make bacon, which you're right. But the thing is, the funny thing I found was he was having a dream about flying motorcycles, which, as you know from the last episode, that was his godfather's motorcycle.
His slight memory of, I guess, the day it happened. I mean,
I really wonder.
It has
to
be his first memory, really.
Yeah, I mean, something like that traumatic is definitely going to always haunt you. They continue to go on to about he remembers a green flashing light, which is the killing curse.
Later in the books, he remembers a scream.
He remembers a scream. Yeah.
So those
that
are
haunts
his first
him,
memories.
Yeah. So it's definitely something that's going to stick by him throughout the entire series is that night, even though he's.
But I think that's the last time that I remember that they mentioned the flying motorcycle for for a while, up until they get into the whole serious thing.
Yeah, I believe so as well. I think they mention it one more time in this chapter, talking about how he tells his uncle that he had a dream about flying motorcycles and he almost crashed his brand new car that he doesn't, you know, almost crashed it because he doesn't want Harry to talk about flying motorcycles. And Harry was like, well, I know it was just a dream, stupid. and it's Dudley's birthday today. Happy birthday, Dudley, you know, and he's a fat little beach ball. Yes, I have that perfect bacon. One thing that I think is funny that they talk about in the book, but they definitely don't do in the movie was Harry's glasses are already broken. It was many layers of scotch tape.
Yeah.
From taking care of it. Now, were they broken? They weren't broken in this part of the movie. I mean, this is something that we'll talk about when we watch the movie, but I remember him meeting Hermione and Hermione fixes them.
Yes. But I'm guessing they were already broken because I don't remember what else would have broken them.
Yeah, neither can I.
I just don't think that you really paid attention to it until she fixed them.
Yeah, I think so too. When we get to the movie, I'll definitely make sure to make a note of that and see if that was the case. So Dudley got a bunch of presents. He got a racing bike, which Harry thought was funny because he doesn't do exercise. He got a computer game, a second TV. We actually got 16 computer games, I think it was, they said.
Yeah, like a ridiculous amount of computer
games. And this is like the 90s, or yeah, it's 10 years later. This is like the like 1990.
Man, what did he even have to play, like the Lemmings?
Like what games? I mean, I remember we had Oregon Trail.
The Lemmings, that was my game.
I don't think I had Lemmings. Oregon Trail was definitely on there. I remember having a Jaws video game or a computer game.
Well, are we talking like Windows or like?
Well, back then everything.
It had to be like.
Back then everything was kind of the same, you know.
Yeah, but this is the 80s.
This is the 90s now. It's 10 years later.
You're right.
So back then everything was. You'd have like a Macintosh 1, mm-hmm. and on there would run Mac OS, but it wasn't really Mac OS back then. And Macintosh actually had a...
Who said you have a Mac?
I'm just saying that was like the most popular... Back then, believe it or not, that was the most popular computer, home computer. Macintosh brought
my computer ran MS-DOT back then.
Yeah.
And that Lemmings was like the only game, I think.
I think I had a Jaws game, and that was... my brother probably would remember better than me. But I remember us playing that. I remember Oregon Trail. I remember this game that was like a math game, which they taught you on that Dudley is very bad at math. He can't add two... To
yes.
a number?
I noticed that too.
It was like 37 and he couldn't add
to 39.
He couldn't
figure out what two more is.
So he's very bad at math. And so he got 37 gifts and he was very upset because it was less than what he had before. So he cares more about the quantity of the gifts than the quality.
So you could just get him a whole bunch of random crap.
Yeah, if he saw 45 boxes, he'd be like, oh, cool.
They probably wrap all his computer games like separate, whereas like if you're going to get me computer games, put them all in one thing.
Yeah, that's how it was when we grew up. We got a big box. Like if we got like 5 or 6 action figures, we got a big box with those 5 or 6 action figures in it, as opposed to wrapping each individual action figure. Mm-hmm. And then we also got, we would get clothes in boxes that were something else. So we thought it'd be really cool. We'd open up the box and it's like, I don't know, like a Nintendo like box, right? They'd somehow get in, my grandparents would somehow get a Nintendo box and inside would be like church clothes.
Our running joke in our family that everything was clothes always. We would sit there and guess, oh, it's definitely clothes. So it didn't matter what it actually was.
You know what's funny though? When we're kids, when we got clothes, we're like, ah, shit. But nowadays, if someone's like, hey, I got you a sweater, I'm like, woo!
No, don't buy me clothes.
No, I'm good with clothes, you know?
No, I'm too picky for that.
No, I like a good you know, University of Miami sweatshirt or a shirt every now and then. You know, I'm okay with that. I think in my family and with my wife's parents and her family, they know that birthday, Christmas time, if you don't know what to get me, if it has the University of Miami logo on it, I'm gold. Let's go.
Yeah, guys are a lot easier with that. If my mom buys me something, she definitely includes a receipt because she knows that I'm probably
not. For any of my listeners out there, I do prefer the Adidas brand University of Miami stuff, and I do wear a medium. So, yes.
Don't buy me clothes.
So Dudley really cares more about the number of gifts he has as opposed to what they are. But he did get some good stuff. You know, he got a bike and a racing bike. I would assume they're talking about a BMX bike. You know, a 20-inch bike for any of you guys who know anything about BMX. I rode BMX as a child. I would love to get a BMX bike. And
16 video games.
Jesus Christ. I'm lucky if I get one video game a year as an adult. I mean, I've been playing Fortnite just because it's free. Not because it's that great of a game. I mean, it is a great game, but because it's free. And I probably just... put a date on this podcast now, so when people listen to it 10 years from now, they're like, Fortnite, we haven't played that in like 6 years. But anyway,
I think it's funny in, I don't know if they talk about it in the books, I don't remember, in the movie he definitely says, oh, he wants his money's worth. Like, why are you teaching that kid to be?
Yeah, I think that was in the book. Yeah, he said, like, his daddy, he wants his money's worth.
Yeah,
yeah,
teaching that kid to be terrible.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, he's, they seem terrible. Like a terrible family to begin
with. He's already terrible, but they just teach him, like, they get all excited when his first word is won't or.
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. And he gets a VCR. Now, I remember my first VCR. It was mine. And I was so excited because I could program it to record at certain times. And I'd watch and on certain channels, which you could watch. See, my first VCR, this is how technology was back then. My first VCR, you could watch a different channel, but it would record the channel you programmed it to at the time you turned it. So my brother could watch something and I could record something else and go back and watch it when he wasn't, because we only had one TV in the bedroom. And that's how we avoided some fights, not all fights, but some fights was definitely that way. My brother definitely got his way when it came to that stuff because he's older and bigger and stronger, at least when we were kids. Do you remember your first VCR?
No. I do remember that I always made sure that I asked before I changed the channel because my mom would get very mad if I didn't tape her, what was it at the time? Guiding Light or General Hospital. Sorry, Mom.
One of the funny things about that too is that we used to have my cousins had Disney and stuff, and they used to rub it in our face that they had it. And so whenever Disney had their free weekend, we would literally record nonstop. We would just record the entire thing, so that way we can go back and watch it. And I think my brother has some of those tapes, but I remember we had stuff like Count Duckula on there, and oh my God, such great creatures. We're definitely dating ourselves here, so you can see exactly how old we are.
I'm not as old as Jonathan. No, I don't remember that.
I am older.
My big thing that I remember was cassette tapes making cheerleading music.
Oh yeah, we did that too.
Yeah. So not VCR, but I do remember cassette
tapes.
So
everyone out there knows, Alicia and I are both in the cheerleading industry as coaches and professionals, and yes, so we'll try our best to not talk about cheerleading ever.
But it's kind of...
It might come out, though.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Okay, it's very involved.
So, for Dudley's birthday, they're going to the zoo, and of course, Dudley doesn't want Harry to go because Mrs. Fig does not get to watch him because she has a broken leg.
Yes.
Now,
and he is not very upset about her broken leg.
No, and what's funny is that Harry doesn't know who Mrs. Fig is yet. We know. You as the listener probably know as well, but we know as the as people who listen to it. But as if you're a first-time reader, you definitely don't know who Mrs. Fig is. Mrs. Fig is a squib, and a squib is someone born into a magical family with no magical powers.
Basically, the exact opposite of a muggle-born wizard.
Yes. So a muggle-born wizard is someone who is born into a muggle family but has magical powers. So what that is typically is that someone that was that along the lineage of their family there is wizarding blood in them, but they pulled away from that world. Or a squib married a muggle at some point, and they down the line that magic came back into their life. A very influential character in the series is a muggle board, and a not so influential character in the series is a squib. But he does play a very important role.
He's in a lot of them.
Yes. So last episode, we were talking about how they thought he was a car salesman, how Alicia thought he was a car salesman. And what's funny is the very next
chapter,
the very next chapter, he's talking about his new car and how he doesn't want to leave Harry in the parking lot in the car because it's new. Now, what is he going to do in that car? Is he going to pee in there, poop in there, spit everywhere? I mean,
but he'll let them make the bacon.
They don't want to leave him at home because he might blow up the house. And he was excited because then maybe he could watch what he wanted to on TV, or he could maybe try Dudley's games. But nope, he can't stay at home. He can't stay in the car, but he can make the bacon.
Yeah, I don't see. It goes, you can stay at home, but you can't cook anything. And like your cooking comes later down the line. If, you know, I feel like you get to stay at home before you get to.
If you're a British listener, bacon. Please let us know if this is the common thing to let 11-year-olds cook bacon in your homes. And if it's if it's common to not let them stay at home, but you let them cook bacon or breakfast or anything. Because at 11, I was barely allowed to use the microwave.
Let me know if you even consider leaving them in the car, because then we got
a lot of issues. So he didn't want to leave him in the car. And I think it's funny because later in the chapter, Harry is talking, you know, is daydreaming that the snake is crushing Mr. Dudley's new car, because he can tell that Mr. Dudley cares more about the car than he does about Harry. And you can tell even then he's just looking for love and acceptance within his family, because whether they like it or not, Harry is their family. It's their nephew and Dudley's cousin and you know, Harry wants to be loved. And so we also learn about Harry's, what Harry thinks happened to his parents. So his aunt and uncle tell him about that they were in a car crash, and that's where the scar came from, which is the only feature he likes about himself, is his scar. And to be honest with me, it's a pretty badass scar, a lightning scar. I wish I had a lightning scar. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, I have a tattoo, but not a lightning scar.
I have a lightning tattoo.
See? But it's not on your forehead for everyone to see.
No, I don't do.
But your tattoo is for your dog, not even for Harry Potter. Get out of here. Bolt.
Okay, I have a Harry Potter tattoo as well.
What do you have?
I have a quote from the first book, and when we get there, I will tell you.
I have no Harry Potter tattoos. My tattoo is music related. I do want to get the dark mark on my forearm. My wife is against my tattoo. And she's probably against me getting a tattoo on my forearm of the dark mark. Even though she has no idea what the dark mark is, it is not probably something that she wants on my arm. A little preference here. My wife is not a Harry Potter fan, and she doesn't understand our obsession about Harry Potter. So she doesn't even understand why I'm doing this podcast. But it's fine. She supports me, and she wants me to be happy. Now, Harry is already exhibiting magical properties. As an 11-year-old, he has stuff. Like, he gets his hair cut and it grows back really quick. No matter what they do to his hair, it's always unkempt and unruly. And he never fixes that. Even when he learns magic, you would think at some point he would, you know, and get his hair all...
What is the sound of
that? That's the sound of magic.
Okay.
Get his hair all done up nice and stuff. I mean, me, I can't, I'm very cautious about my hair.
I would think that that would be something that he relates to his dad with. So maybe because they talk about how his dad had very...
But
the same kind of hair.
True, yeah.
So maybe that's why he kind of kept that, even though...
That's true. I mean, they always say he looks like his father, except for his eyes, which is his mom's.
Yes.
It's his mom's eyes. So just a few things happened to him. His hair grows back. He shrunk a sweater without knowing how it happened. It just, every time his aunt tried to put it on him, it shrunk. And then he apparated, which is actually a very hard thing to do in the wizarding world. He apparated on the roof of his school without knowing. And when he tried to explain it, he said the wind must have swept him up.
He's always trying to explain because he doesn't understand yet. So he tries to explain the things away like they're just normal occurrences. Like Petunia tried to say that the sweater shrunk in the wash because it didn't fit him.
And they tried to blame the hair on him, but I don't think anyone could explain why his hair grew back so quick. I just think it's funny. It's like I grew up in Miami and I've been through many hurricanes, and we used to go outside when it wasn't raining, it was just wind, and I never got swept up on a roof. Now again, I've never lived in a tornado, so maybe that would happen in a tornado, but I don't, what, a random tornado came out and picked Terry up and put him on the roof?
Just got caught by the wind.
Yeah.
He was scrawny and small. That happens to scrawny and small people, I guess.
I would imagine so. I mean, he was very little.
I'm scrawny and small, and I've never made it in my wind.
On the street, Harry would be greeted and by other wizards, and he wouldn't understand really what was happening. Now, see, I always wonder in that situation, was it they could tell he was another wizard? Is it like a wizarding thing, or is it they knew that that's Harry Potter?
I think they just recognized him because he looked so much like his father, and that's what I always had the impression.
Well, so the Potters are a very famous family, the Potter bloodline. It's a pure bloodline that dates back ages, and we'll get into exactly who the Potters are much later. I really don't want to dive into that right now because that's a long story and very deep into the world of Harry Potter, not just in like the wizarding world, not just Harry Potter alone, but into Fantastic Beasts and everything like that. So I really don't want to give that away right now or even have a discussion about it. But the Potters are a very old family, so they definitely, the wizarding world would definitely know who James Potter was.
Yeah, I feel like since they said that he looked so much like him that they just recognized that that was his kid.
Mm-hmm. That would make a lot of sense. And then he said that whenever he would turn to get a better look at the people, they would vanish. They would apparate away. They'd be like, oh shit, it's Harry Potter. Let me say hi to him. And then poof, gone.
What I thought was weird about that is that they don't really mention that anywhere else in the series other than when he's a kid. Like, they don't mention it when he gets into school that people, like, randomly stop him.
Well, they're the kids.
Well, the other kids, but as far as out in public.
Well, there's always the stuff, like, when they visit, when he goes someplace to, like, they're like, Merlin's beard, it's Harry Potter, you know, and stuff like that, you know.
I guess, like, in the pub.
Yeah, that's always my favorite saying, too, is Merlin's beard, that they acknowledge Merlin as an actual wizard. I love that. You know, not just some fictional character, even though in our world he's fictional, in their world he's real. So I always thought that was kind of funny. So he had that happening to him. So right from the start as a child, he knows he's different, and he just doesn't know why. So they go to the zoo, and Dudley makes a whole stink about the fact that his Knickerbocker glory...
I don't know what that
didn't
is.
Didn't have enough ice cream. So I didn't know what that was either, so I had to look it up. So let me tell you what a Knickerbocker glory is. A Knickerbocker glory...
You know what I always thought a Knickerbocker glory was when I was... And I could not make sense of the ice cream thing, but you know the red, white, and blue popsicles?
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I always thought that was that, but then he always talks about...
glory.
Maybe.
Well, Knickerbockers, I always thought were...
Pants.
Underwear.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, like your knickers. Again, if you're any Brit, if we get any British listeners, please feel free
to tell us how
wrong we are, because we are ignorant Americans.
I always thought it was one of those like red, white, and blue popsicles that you get from a popsicle stand, and then the ice cream thing. I never could figure out where that comes in.
So I had to look it up, and according to Wikipedia, a Knickerbocker Glory is layered ice cream sundae that is served in a large, tall, cylindrical glass to be eaten with a distinctively long spoon, particular in the British Isles. So it's basically an ice cream sundae.
Is there a picture? Like,
yeah, there is a picture. I am currently pulling up the picture on my phone to show Alicia a Knickerbocker Glory. So it is basically ice cream, an ice cream sundae in a long glass. That's essentially what it is, and you eat it.
That looks like something that you get from Friendly's.
I don't know what Friendly's is. Is that a Northeastern thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so Friendly's is if you live in the Northeast, then you would know what Friendly's is.
I mean, that one does. That one, I don't know. That looks like a lot.
Yeah, so it's basically an ice cream sundae with fruit and ice cream and whipped cream and stuff like that. It looks delicious. I kind of really want to know.
Not at all what I pictured it to be.
I definitely want to know what they're like. So he actually gets another one because there wasn't enough ice cream, and Harry gets the first one, which is probably half eight. Some backwash in there, some saliva. But, you know, if you're the kid who doesn't get anything, I'm guessing, you know, something is better than nothing, I would assume. But I always thought that was funny because I had to look it up as I'm listening. Like, we both looked at each other because we were listening together, and we're like, Knickerbocker Glory, what the fuck is that?
I always thought the same thing when I was a kid. I just made up what it was. But I guess the word glory gave me the America popsicle.
So he later goes and they go into the snake pit or the reptile.
The reptile house.
Exhibit. The reptile
snake
house.
Pit.
and you know, this is when you really get to see JK's amazing descriptive writing, because she makes sure it's dark and cold, or it's dark and cool. And you can really picture that. If you've ever been in a reptile house in a zoo, that's exactly what it's like. It's cool and it's dark, very dimly lit. So she does a very good job at you know, taking you to there, I feel like. And he goes and he sees a boa constrictor, which is from Brazil. And the snake starts talking to him, which we find out later that even in the wizarding world, that's not a very common thing. But he doesn't know anything. To him, this isn't weird. To him, he's just like, oh, shit, a snake's talking to me. What's up? What's up, snake? Where are you from? Snake taps the glass. He's like, oh, boa constrictor, Brazil. Oh, is it nice there? And he taps the glass again. And he's like, oh, you were born in captivity.
I just think it's funny that he doesn't even bother to mention to the Dursleys that, like, the snake is talking to him, probably because he knows that they would have freaked out.
Oh, my God, yes.
But still, I think I would have been like, hey, Mom, wait.
Hey, I think
there's a talking snake right
I think
here.
I've been in the sun a little bit too long. Maybe that Knickerbocker Glory was an adult version or something, because this is not. Maybe it wasn't
like, yeah,
an
he's definitely
edible.
Old enough to know that, like, snakes aren't supposed to talk to you. So it's weird to me that he didn't even, like.
Well, so many weird things has happened to him. I think he just thinks it's part of normal life for him.
Yeah.
You know,
weird things happen to him.
He said he always felt like there was he always felt that there was a distant family member that was going to come get him. And you could tell that he always felt that he didn't belong in the world he was in. So I feel like maybe to him it was just something natural for him. Like, oh, shit, snakes are talking to me. Oh, that's cool. Now I have someone to talk to.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that could have been just the...
Or maybe he thought he was hallucinating in the sun too long, had an edible. Who knows? It could have been anything. He's a kid. He doesn't know any better. And,
pretty sure he did not think he had an edible.
Or maybe he was like, damn, what was in that Knickerbocker Glory?
He had an edible. He belonged in Hufflepuff.
When we get to the houses, we'll have a long discussion about what we think each house is supposed to be.
High school stereotypes.
Yes, very much so. So he talks to the snake, and his cousin comes over with his friend. I don't remember what his friend's name was, but his
Pierce.
Friend, what is it?
Pierce. Yes.
Like Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Polkis. I don't know what
is Pierce Brosnan British.
No, that's not Pierce. Pierce.
Pierce.
Yes. P I E R S. I think.
Pierce. Okay. I thought Polkis. It was like Pierce, like Pierce Brosnan. He's British. So I thought maybe that would, you know.
I don't know who that is either.
You know, the actor, Pierce Brosnan. Benedict Cumberbatch. Do you know who that is?
I've heard of them. Oh, and the only reason I've heard of Pierce Brosnan is because of How I Met Your Mother. They mentioned him once.
James Bond. Oh, my God. Okay. So moving on from the fact that Alicia doesn't know who Pierce Brosnan is.
I don't like action movies, really, so.
But it's James Bond.
Yeah.
That's such a good, okay. Well, this is not the James Bond podcast, so we will not get into that. In all reality, I've never seen too many James Bond movies, like one or two. That's between you and me, though. Okay, so moving on. His friends come over and see that the snake is acting weird. And so he pushes Harry away, and Harry falls to the floor, and out of anger, Harry makes the glass disappear, and the snake comes out and looks at him and says, "Thanks."
But he has no idea that he made the glass disappear.
No, he doesn't understand anything at all.
He like knows that he wanted something to happen, but he doesn't.
He has no, and that's one of the things I think is funny too. It's like, okay, so we find out later that when there's a whole accidental magic department, and there's a whole underage wizarding department that handles these situations. Yet in this case, nobody comes to clean it up. Nobody comes to be like, oh shit, let's erase some minds.
Well, I feel like that is something like they can't explain it anyway, so they're not going to directly go to, like, no one pulled out a wand. Usually it's something where.
But they still have the accidental magic people who come in, yeah. You know, that because he didn't in book four or three he blows up his aunt, and he didn't use his wand. He was just mad and it happened, and the accidental magic people came and deflated her.
But they all knew that that was magic related.
I don't know. I think, you know, the Dudleys knew, or the Dursleys knew that he was magical. So I think that
also that involves a human life, whereas this kind of snake got out, and they're just like,
I guess
not sure
true.
What happened. I feel like that would be a circumstance where they wouldn't really need it.
I think it also, you know, just for the purpose of the story, you know, if they introduce like some Men in Black type characters coming up and they're like shoving sticks in people's faces and stuff, there would be a lot of questioning of what's going on here. It's a little too early for the Men in Black showing up. You know, the MIB.
Yeah.
You like the Men in Black? We're come the Men
yes.
in Black. Okay, good. All right, now we found a movie that Alicia likes.
I like a lot of movies. I just don't like action movies.
Okay, welcome to the Jonathan Alicia podcast about movies. Let's find out what movies Alicia likes. She doesn't like James Bond, but she does like Men in Black. So yeah, so the snake gets out, says thanks. You know, they made sure to accentuate the S as a snake. I don't know if snakes would have lisps though. I mean, I would, just because
I think it's just a play on the fact that they already make that hissing sound. I feel like every movie ever and every book ever always gives them that.
I think it's from Disney S. which what was the snake's
name?
Not
Shere Khan.
No, Shere Khan was the tiger. What was that snake's name? I don't know.
I think it started, wasn't Sir Hiss like way back, like Robin Hood?
That was the same snake though. Jungle Book came before Robin Hood.
No.
No?
No.
Are you sure? We had to take a break and see. I was correct that Robin Hood came after Jungle Book, and the snake's name is Ka. K-A-A. K-A-A. So that has absolutely positively nothing to do with Harry Potter. And that's just...
We're just talking about why the hissing sound. But I think that in every movie, really, they do that whole thing after.
I mean, it makes sense. It's just, you know, my mind wandering off into places that it shouldn't be wandering off to. So the snake gets out. And, you know, it's just funny that Harry really relates to the snake, because the snake is born in captivity and he is a captive in his own world. And he even says that. He says, you know, that at least he gets to walk around the house where the snake is stuck in the cage. And that is a, you know, it's really telling that he feels trapped like that in his own world. He can't even express himself. He can't even have thoughts and questions without his family really, you know, ostracizing him because of it. And that's not a good thing to have as a child, especially not. That should be, you know, someone should call CPS on the Dursleys.
More things that not are going to involve Harry Potter. Is that like a common thing in English? I doubt it's called CPS, maybe.
Oh.
But that's neither here nor there. Yeah. But anyway.
yes, in America, we call Child Protective Services CPS. So whenever some, like, if there's child abuse, you call CPS. I don't know what they call it over there.
Well, that should be for him sleeping in a cupboard. So
yes, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. I mean,
he can not stay at home alone, but he can make the bacon.
Yeah, no, it still doesn't make sense and everything. So what were your thoughts on this chapter?
What were my thoughts?
Yeah, like what did you take away? Because, you know, we talked about how right away in the last episode we talked about, you know, the themes that we felt like were already being set in place from right away. We're talking about, you know, what you should take away from basically from the series. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that those same themes are being portrayed through the next chapter, or do you think that it just, you know, that's just something that you're gonna have to get here and there?
Honestly, you know? I feel like this is kind of like a building chapter, just so you understand the backstory. It kind of just shows that he is showing magical tendencies, but they're still trying to get rid of it. They're not really, it's not as, to me, it's not as an important chapter as some of the other ones that like show extreme detail.
I think that this chapter, like you said, was, it shows you that even at a young age, he had magical properties and he, I don't, but the thing is that, would he be considered a...
It was basically like a building what he had become chapter, not like a, you know, main part of the actual story of Harry Potter, I guess. I don't really know how to explain it.
Do you believe that these are just common common things that happen in a young wizard's life? Like, even without any training?
They have to show some kind of magic, and if you don't know what magic is, and it's always going to be accidental. Like, they talk about later in the series, they didn't think Neville was magic until he falls out of the window and he bounces.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they all have weird things that happen to them. It's just, when does it show up and how controlled is it, because what environment are you growing up in? I would be really interested to find out Hermione's stories, because her parents obviously have no idea. Like, the Dursleys obviously know a little bit. Yeah, they have no idea. Yeah. What do they think? What happened that made them realize that she had magical tendencies, and why did they not freak out?
When do they get their letter? How long do they have after they get their letter to start school? Because she must have found out real early that she was a wizard, because she knew way too much about wizarding.
Well, she's a bookworm who, as soon as she found out, she was interested. She did what I do, and I guess they didn't have Google back then, but she got every book. As soon as I find out something I'm interested in, I will spend all night on Google trying to figure out every single detail that I need to know possible.
That's what I was wondering. I'm wondering, you know, was it when she got her letter, or was it? Yeah, I definitely would like to hear more about Hermione's story as a young child,
because just the whole thing with, like, her parents literally had no idea anything about magic. I know that they, rather than just sending a letter, they send people to your house to explain the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do that at her first sign of magic, or do they
wait till she's 11 or 12 when they turn? Could it be that? Could it be that they find out when she's 12 that they, maybe her birthday is
they find
early in the year, like a January or something, so she has all that time?
Maybe.
Do we know when Hermione's birthday is?
Off the top of my head, no.
So Hermione's birthday is September 19th. When did they go to school?
September 1st. So she had to find out an entire year early.
Early, yeah.
They go September 1st, right?
So did she start school at 13, was she the older woman?
She would start school at the end of 11, beginning at 12.
Okay. That makes sense, yeah. So she would definitely have to find out early, because they would have to send the letter out.
So she would be one of the oldest in the class.
Yeah. I would like to know more about her story. But, we're jumping around, because Hermione's not even introduced yet.
We're just talking about how they how the magic... You know,
the magic happens.
Yeah,
you know, that B.O.B. song. I got the magic in me. I wonder if I wonder if B.O.B. saw Harry Potter and thought that, and that's where he got the inspiration for that song. maybe, maybe not.
I think that song is about making music, not another thing.
I think that song's about drugs, but whatever. All right, and on that note, we are going to end this episode of the Portkey Cast.
Yes, with that song is about drugs.
Please tune in next week where we'll be tackling chapter 3 of book 1. Thank you so much.